Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicle's Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back here at the Public House. So we got a lot going on. And it is time to talk a little ball with our favorite guy, and that is Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Good morning, Marty.
What a day, huh?
You know, what a day.
We've seen a lot of these ceremonies in our time, but what did you think of yesterday?
Oh, well, I was watching from home, and, you know, me, I was a big fan of Bonds as a player, as a Hall of Fame candidate. And, you know, what I really enjoyed being able to watch from here was the interview that he did with Rennell on NBC Sports. He was really loose and friendly and about as garrulous and accommodating as you'll ever see him, and it was really, really good. I just thought the whole thing was overdue, and it was very refreshing to witness.
Yeah, where does it go from here? You know, it's a wonderful moment, and what do the Giants do with him from here?
Well, I don't know what else I think they'll probably stop a little bit short of the statue. I'm not sure. That wouldn't bother me either, but that's a different deal. You know, they've retired his number. I think they should play up the 500 plus home run club where they have more members than anybody. It's kind of an old, looks like an old shack out there. You can barely see it from some parts of the park.
Yeah.
And you know, the main thing looking forward from here is the Hall of Fame. And I think we can all agree that we're years off since he's only got about 50% of the vote, and I think it'll improve over the years. And I still think he'll get in. I heard Andy Baggerly say he'll never get in, and that's entirely possible. I don't know how or when, but I think someday he'll be in.
I agree with that. I really do. Does this do anything nationally for him, the love that he got yesterday and Willie Mays making that, you know, the wonderful speech? And I think that was my highlight, just to see Willie grab the podium like he grabbed the bat and said, I'll hit Drysdale.
Yeah.
And that's, I swear, that's what he was such a showman yesterday. But does the whole thing do anything for Bonds nationally?
If he gets in?
Yeah.
If he gets in Cooperstown?
Well, does it enhance his ability to get in? What happened yesterday?
No. I think people have long since made up their minds on Bonds, especially the voters who have been voting for a number of years. It's always, to me, it's always heartening to hear someone like Susan Slusser say she has changed her mind and is voting for Bonds and Clemens these days. I'm not sure how many of those folks are around, but I think most people, whether they have taken a moral stand against it or whether they just prefer to remember him as the greatest player of his era, they've made up their minds. I don't think a whole lot changes in that regard after yesterday.
Bruce, one of the cooler moments of yesterday, one of the more fun, lighter-hearted moments, was they brought out Eric Gagne, which was kind of a surprise to everybody and kind of a weird moment considering the cloud that hangs over both of those guys. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, it brought back a kind of a nice memory for me because the night they had that epic at bat, I was just blown away in the press box. And in between innings, I raced up to the Comcast booth to see Kruko and those. And Kruko was just raving about it. He was just beside himself how great that was. And I just needed that validation of what an incredibly cool at bat it was. And I went down and wrote my column right then. It was at the fifth inning. wrote the whole thing on that. It was, you know, I wasn't thinking about, you know, who did what, who did steroids. That's one of the greatest confrontations I've ever seen. It was, you know, 100-mile-an-hour heat against the quickest bat in the game, and it lingered for a while, and it was just great ball.
Well, that's pretty good. Bruce Jenkins joins us. The other thing I thought about, and I don't know how you feel about retired numbers, and, you know, is it like you got to be 35 to be a senator or something? Or do you have to be in the Hall of Fame? Can't they do whatever they want? Does it open the door a little bit to just have a little more fun with this thing?
In terms of Cooperstown?
No, in terms of just the San Francisco Giants. And
the Giants. Well,
retire another guy's number.
Well, two guys that really come quickly to mind are Will Clark and Tim Lincecum. And there's an awful lot more guys that belong in this conversation. But those guys, they weren't just great. I mean, they lit up the stadium. They had magic in their game, and they were absolutely Hall of Famers, you know, at the time. The longevity maybe wasn't there, but, you know, if you're the Giants, it's easy to say, well, you're either in the Hall or you're not. and they did make an exception for Bonds, and so it's a matter of whether they open up again. But to me, it wouldn't bother me at all if they retired Will Clark and Lincecum, and then there's some other guys in that argument too.
You said something there, Bruce, that I want to hit on. You said those guys lit up the stadium, and kind of juxtaposing what happened in the pregame ceremony last night to how the team performed last night, that's kind of what this team feels like, is they don't have that guy, except for maybe Bumgarner every fifth day, who lights up this stadium.
Yeah, that's really true. That's absolutely true. I think McCutchen was that guy a few years ago in Pittsburgh. And even Longoria was that guy in his prime years with Tampa Bay. Those guys were, you know, when they left those towns, the outpouring of love for those guys and the memories was strong. But that doesn't have anything to do with today's Giants. You know, Derek Rodriguez is kind of getting there a little bit. But no, you're right. And you know, all of the contenders, you know, guys like Lindor and Baez and Carlos Correa when he comes back, you know, and Mookie Betts, you know, I mean, the Giants don't have that kind of guy, and it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does, especially in a day like today. They'll face Joe Musgrove, and who's Joe Musgrove? But when you look at what he's accomplished for the Pirates, the big kid, 6'5", 250, seven innings or more, his last four starts. And he goes against Derek Rodriguez, who, believe it or not, is getting some traction in the Rookie of the Year. So this is actually a Sunday game that you can look forward to.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. I mean, Rodriguez has everything you'd need for Rookie of the Year, although he came on a little bit late. But I think Soto's got that wrapped up. I mean, he plays every day. He's a five-tool guy. He's 19. He's already one of the greatest, apparently one of the greatest teenagers we've seen. I don't think it's any mirage what he's doing. He's just brilliant, like, every single day. And he plays in the East Coast. So I think nothing against Rodriguez at all. But, you know, the more he does, the more he gets in an argument. But I think Soto takes it in the end.
Yeah, that's kind of it, that East Coast thing. And now, what's he got now? They said more home runs than Mickey Mantle had before his 20th birthday?
Yeah, he's done a lot of those kind of things.
Yeah, I saw the list. And Mel Ott, you know, was
incredible. Yeah.
And he's gone past Mel Ott and OPS and all this kind of stuff. And,
yeah,
and plus, he hits
Ed
lefty.
Ott, too. I think he passed Ed Ott a couple weeks ago.
He passed them all. And he passed all the aughts, and we're in the aughts now.
Yeah.
But the other thing about him, he hits left-handed. You know, he hits lefties.
Yeah, that's just that every time I tape all the Nationals games, I mean, partially to watch, you know, Scherzer and Turner and Harper, but mostly for Soto. I want to see everything that he's doing out there. He's an amazing ball player.
Bruce, you look at next year. Can Harper be in the sights of the Giants? I mean, they're desperate for the drawing card and power.
Well, absolutely, he'll be in their sights. I think that would be their main target. I mean, you know, this is a guy who all of a sudden you do have that guy who lights up the building, and he's having a bit of a rough year. But this guy is a special talent. You know, we talked about him in the company of Mike Trout many times in this show, and a change of scene would probably do him good. Who knows? But he's one of those guys. I definitely think they'll target him. You know, the initial reaction I think is always, well, why would a power hitter want to come here? But you know, I don't think the dimensions of San Francisco would bother him at all. I think he might be refreshed by the coolness of the weather. It's a great place to play. It seems a bit of a long shot just because of the ballpark stigma, but I don't know. I don't know if that would sway him in another direction. And, of course, you know, some of the really big clubs are going to go hard for him, so that'll be quite a bidding war.
We've been kind of tossing around the greatest story that's happened to this team this year. We've talked Derek Rodriguez, and then the other guy who came up earlier was Derek Holland, who should throw mm-hmm. this week. You think the Giants are looking at maybe an extension for him, or are we looking at a multi-year deal, looking at next season and the lack of depth in the system at starting pitcher, and then also losing Johnny Cueto for probably all of 2019? Where are we with Derek Holland, you think?
Well, that's interesting. You know, barring any deals that they would make, I think he'd be a great guy to bring back, because he'll do anything. He comes, you know, he's not terribly expensive. He's a real good guy to have around, keep guys loose. But, I mean, you know, he'll spot start, he'll relieve. Those guys are really, really valuable. You know, I think considering that it wouldn't be a big, you know, burden on their payroll, he'd be a good candidate for that.
Yeah, it's kind of an indication of the state of the ball club, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about that being a big move, that's not good.
You know what I mean? You know?
It's all relative here.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's terrific. Derek Holland, we're going to re-sign him. I think
just looking at the Chronicles wild card standings, they didn't even put the Giants in there. There's eight teams, and the Giants are not any of those teams.
So. No, because they're under 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to be over. Yeah, I saw that this morning as well.
Yeah.
Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, the Red Sox. They're going to end up winning. I mean, they just keep winning in that division. They just beat everybody. They're going to win over 115 games.
What a thing. We'll be talking about Bob Lemon and early win before this is all over, and Ken Griffey Jr. and, you know, the Seattle teams. But, yeah, they're, I mean, that just, you compare the Giants to the lineup they're putting out there. You know, they lead off with Mookie Betts hitting about 350. The kid Benintendi is a tremendous player. He hits second. You know, J.D. Martinez, he's like the greatest off-field power hitter we've seen since maybe Mike Piazza. Bogarts, the shortstop, is just fantastic. I mean, you know, that ex-Giant Edward Nunez is in the mix, but, you know, and Jackie Bradley making an unbelievable catch. Jackie Bradley made a catch remind me of Willie Mays the other night, which is, I would never say. It wasn't a robbery, but it was a full-out dive with the fence like an inch from his face, and he still sprawled out and made the catch, and it was a very Mays-like. But, I mean, just the talent, you know, one guy after another. David Price is back in the groove, and Chris Sale, and the good little bullpen, and I don't know. I don't see any reason why they can't take a shot at that.
Yeah, because, you know, it's funny you said that about, of course, Bruce and I love talking about this stuff. The 1954 Cleveland Indians, they won 111 games, lost 43, and that was always the benchmark for me growing up, you know, 111. But what I remembered about it, looking at the standings, they beat the Yankees like by 18 games.
Oh, in those days, it's unheard of.
Really? Yeah. And I said, how in the world? What happened to the Yankees? And I realized they won 93. You know, and
not a terrible year.
No,
yeah.
No, and that's what we're looking at here with Boston. They could go 115, 116, and the Yankees could win 92 and lose by 25 games.
Yeah, and they're in a death struggle with the A's, for God's sake.
Yeah. You see the throw by the A's outfielder last night, Laureano?
I love Susan Slusser's story today, calling up that throw that Cespedes made for the A's a few years back from left. But it was like, wait a minute, what did he do there? I mean, and where did this guy come from? That when you see a throw like that, you know, that's no accident. There's no luck involved from making a 320-foot throw, you know, on the fly. In a situation like that, that was wild. I love to see great arms in the outfield. That's right up there.
He was almost flat-footed at the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
He just picked it up and heaved it.
Right.
And
hit
Canna in the chest at first base.
It's not like he had a running start, you know, and did a somersault after he released it.
Well, my question is, where was the runner? Where was he going?
He was going all the way to home, Marty.
Really? I mean, what in the world was he doing?
It was a great catch to start the play.
Well, it was okay.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like...
He made a long run to get there.
Yeah, but he didn't climb the wall.
No.
You know, you're going to look and see where it's going.
Yeah, well, we're glad that he screwed up a little bit because it gave us a heck of a moment there.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, really. Yeah. It's one of the classic throws. I think it's like the Cespedes throw, flat-footed.
Yes.
You know, which was really amazing.
Well, Brad Mangin was saying it was like the Jose Guillen throw at Shea Stadium, where he just flat-footed it from the wall to third base. I thought that was a good call, too.
That's Brad Mangin for you.
Yeah,
He'll call up something you'd forgotten.
He probably took
Brad
a picture
Mangin.
Of it. He probably has a photo of it.
Yeah.
One of the great photographers. Baseball.
Best,
yeah.
Best ball shooter going right now.
Brad Mangin. Bruce, one last thing. As the Giants go on the road here, another road trip, they're still mathematically in it. You like to see some life in the ball club, which we just haven't seen. But here we are, 3 in L.A., and, you know, something good happens, and all of a sudden we're talking again.
If they come out of L.A. In good shape, there is some hope because they could go into Cincinnati and do some good hitting on the road. That club is dangerous, but they're not really going anywhere. And then the Mets are just completely hapless. They got four there. So, yeah, I mean, it's the Dodger series is huge. I mean, if they just come out of there where they are now, you know, and sort of not dead, not buried, they could shake it up a little bit, absolutely.
Yeah, it keeps you going.
And then they get Texas at home, and then Arizona, which will be, you know, interesting one, and then the Mets again, and so it's kind of favorable for the immediate future.
Yeah, day by day, that's the story of the Giants season. All right, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you next week. Yeah, the Giants in Cincinnati next week.
See you, Bruce.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. That is the great Bruce Jenkins.